This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel. We're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today, we are joined by Dr. Philip J. Miller, who is widely acclaimed as one of New York City's premier cosmetic and facial plastic surgeons. With more than 20 years of experience, he enjoys a well-deserved reputation as a leading expert in rhinoplasty and revision rhinoplasty. Dr. Miller is double board certified in facial plastic and reconstructive surgery and otolaryngology and head and neck surgery. He is consistently voted one of the best doctors in America, as well as a top doctor of New York. Dr. Miller, a pleasure to have you with us today on eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here as well.
So for starters, Dr. Miller, tell us about yourself briefly and why you did get into plastic surgery.
Well, I guess I was always someone who was a tinkerer. I loved playing with toys or trying to figure out how things worked. The joke that sort of hung around the family was that when it got time to change the dishwasher, that I, instead of throwing it out, I asked my mom if she could just put it on the porch so I could literally take it apart and put it back together again and see how the mechanics work. So I was always sort of mechanically inclined. I always loved working with my hands. And then my mom was an artist, so she sort of introduced me to the whole concept of artistry and the joy of working with your hands and then being able to create something that was aesthetic. And then finally, for those perhaps older listeners, they may remember a television show quite some time ago called MASH. And MASH had a character by the name of Hawkeye Pierce, played by Alan Alda, and he was just a terrific surgeon. He was adored by both patients and admired by fellow staff. He was a womanizer a little bit, so of course, as a single guy back then, I appreciated that as well. But I really looked at him and I said, this is a guy that I want to be. And then if you take everything into account, both the aesthetics and working with my hands and loving surgery, it was sort of a natural to go into the plastic surgery domain.
Quite interesting there. Now, I would also be curious, why facial plastic surgery?
Yeah, I loved facial plastics because primarily because I was fascinated with the anatomy of the head and neck. It's an incredibly intricate, very compressed anatomy with subtleties that and changes of nerve patterns and arteries and veins that are just literally millimeters apart. So the anatomy of the head and neck was absolutely fascinating. And I also found the challenge of operating on something that couldn't be covered. You operate on the body, nothing against. I have my colleague is an amazing a body surgeon, and he is just fantastic. So, but I, as a facial surgeon, I sort of loved the challenge of knowing that whatever I did couldn't be hidden. It had to be perfect. It had to be exact because everyone was being able to see it.
No doubt. And also taking that a little further, why the nose?
The nose, I know. Who would have ever thought that I would love and focus a lot of my attention on the nose? And why is the nose such an interesting thing to operate on? And it's primarily that it consists of both bone and cartilage and skin and subcutaneous tissue. And no nose is alike. They may appear the same. The deformity may look the same from one person to the next, but the underlying anatomy is so unbelievably different that it really it challenges you so that every single case is unique. I'm never going in, ever really going in and saying, well, you know, I know how to do this thing. I'm always sort of looking at it and wondering, what is it about this particular case that makes it so unique? And there always is, whether it's the anatomy of the cartilage or the bone or the skin, or perhaps the absence of shrinkability, that's the elasticity of the skin, which is an absolute limitation on how small a nose can get. But each nose really is different. It means that I never get bored and I love what I do every day.
And with great reason as well, today we are joined by Dr. Philip J. Miller, who is widely acclaimed as one of New York City's premier cosmetic and facial plastic surgeons and a leading expert in rhinoplasty and revision rhinoplasty at Gotham Plastic Surgery in New York, here on eHealth Radio's Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. So tell us, what is the natural look?
Sure. You know, after a while, you start learning how to do, or you start looking about how you do what you do, and it becomes very unique. It becomes really a manifestation of your own interests and your own personality, your own talent, your own skills. And so we decided a while ago, hey, you know what, let's give that a name. And what it most reflected and what name sort of stuck was the natural look and the natural look process, which actually is trademarked for what we do. And the natural look process is the way in which we go about analyzing people's faces, as well as working with them in order for them to achieve their ultimate goal. And the first and foremost thing that is part of the natural look process is what we phrase the one vision. That's really important. We have to have a unified vision. That unified vision is really created through my assessment, through my recommendations, through my assessments, and it's from the patient's requests, the patient's desires, the patient's concerns, and we put that together and create a visual, an actual two-dimensional and sometimes a three-dimensional visual of what the individual wants to look like. And it is only after we create that unified vision and are both in agreement that that is the result that we want to obtain that we proceed down the natural look process, with the next step being the prep. And then after the prep, you actually have the realization, which is the procedure or the surgery, depending upon whether or not the patient wanted something more invasive or not. And then the entire course of their post-operative or post-procedure treatment, all of that involves what we would call the natural look process. And it really never ends in some respects, because we see patients for years and years and decades as they come back and requesting little things here or there. And now the very large non-invasive treatments like Botox, like fillers, like skin resurfacing, patients are coming back anywhere between every 4 to 6 months who are going through this process each and every time.
And thanks for all those details. Most helpful. Lastly, what is the recovery expectation going through a rhinoplasty procedure?
Recovery for rhinoplasty is in many ways dependent upon what is being done. So I do something called a micro rhinoplasty, where while the patient is awake, I can slide a very, very small instrument that vibrates very quickly and can eliminate small, very small little bumps. And for something like that, a patient doesn't even really need a cast. They can go back to work that afternoon. There's no pain. There's no very limited swelling. Certainly it's no bruising. So that's on one extreme. And then on the other extreme is someone who is going to need a lot more work, where there'll be a lot of grafting, for example, where I may be fixing their breathing as well, where the bones need to be readjusted in order for them to be more in midline or more symmetric. That's someone who would have a cast on their nose. I don't put packing in anyone. Everyone can breathe immediately after the surgery. So no packing in any patient, but they will have a cast on their nose. They'll probably be swollen for maybe a day or two, maybe three, and then bruising, again, dependent upon the patient. If the patient is taking Advil or aspirin or has a tendency to bruise, then they may get some black and blues in the short term. But all of that, what I just described in the more involved scenario, rapidly goes away after day three, so that at day 7 or 8, when the cast comes off and any sutures which have been placed can be removed, they are almost always ready to go back to work by day 8. Maybe a little swollen, maybe a little bruise that can be covered with some cover-up, but almost everybody goes back to work at 8 days.
Well, Dr. Miller, most helpful information. We really appreciate your time and your expertise shared here today. Where can our listeners get further details on your practice, and where could they also be in touch as well?
By all means, I have an extensive website at drphilipmiller.com. That's Dr. Philip with one L, drphilipmiller.com. And we were talking a lot about rhinoplasty. I have a specialized rhinoplasty site called rhinoplastyny.com. That's rhinoplastyny.com. And on both of those sites, you'll see case studies. You'll have explanations of procedures. There'll be videos, an extensive video library, particularly on rhinoplasty and all aspects of facial plastic surgery. And then please, by all means, nowadays, follow me on Instagram at Dr. Philip J. Miller. That's just the letter J, Dr. Philip G. J. Miller. I'm on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. I'm really proud of the YouTube channel that I've created, with really great playlists in all aspects of facial plastic surgery. In particular, I'm creating a new one now called Plastic Surgery Procedures Explained, where I break down some of the more complicated procedures into simple layman's terms with some interesting diagrams and props, so that patients can understand really what's being done and for them to understand it at a more simplistic level.
Sounds pretty awesome. Again, Dr. Miller, it has been our pleasure to have had you. Continued success to you, and we really appreciate your joining us here today on eHealth Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me, and I really had a wonderful time. Thank you.
You bet, and we did as well. We've been speaking with Dr. Philip J. Miller, who is widely acclaimed as one of New York City's premier cosmetic and facial plastic surgeons and a leading expert in rhinoplasty and revision rhinoplasty. And to learn more, visit rhinoplastynewyork.com or drphilipmiller.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Plastic Surgery Information Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit ehealthradionetwork.com.